Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Tom and Jenny Hauser. Tom, give me a break. You're making $250,000 a year. You're a nuclear engineer. You haven't made, Jenny, I guess you're kind of happy with his career.
Oh, yes.
And then one day he gets this thing in his head, Jenny, that he wants to leave his job and go into ministry. How'd you get that in your head?
Well, it was a journey. It really has been a journey. We got saved back in about 1974. My wife got saved first. And the Lord brought me into the kingdom. I call it by the 2x4 method. Our daughter had been sick. I thought I was saved. I'd been raised in a Methodist denomination. When our daughter got sick, all of my science background, I had really made science an idol. Rationalization.
Now, I find engineers are very difficult to believe in the invisible world.
Yeah.
As a people group,
yeah.
When someone's on me next to me in an airplane, they say they're an engineer, I say, oh, brother.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened to me. My wife came home and she said, I got saved. And I argued with her. I said, you've been a good Catholic girl. You've been saved. You know, what are you talking about? Well, our daughter got sick. And at 9 months, they put her in the hospital. We had a Jewish doctor, Dr. Nitschman. They had tried everything to find out what was wrong with her intestinal disorder. And they essentially gave up. They had tried all of the testing. They had her on intravenous feeding. My wife got home and said, we're going to a healing service. And we're going to trust that Jesus will heal her.
Did you believe it's possible? Give me a break. Nuclear engineer?
and I walked into the hospital room. And after Dr. Nitschman had told us, basically, they had given up, my wife walked in with me, and then my daughter was essentially tied down because they had been IV feeding her, and they didn't want it to pull out of the head. And I had the closest thing to a nervous breakdown. I said, I've got to leave. I drove home in tears. We lived in the woods in upstate New York. I was working at a nuclear site for the fast attack submarine service at that point. And I said to God in the anguish of my soul, I said, I've heard all my life from my mother that you're a God who does all these good things. If you even exist, heal my daughter. And if you will, then I'll talk to you. Well,
big of you to be so gracious.
It was pretty arrogant.
The creator
now,
of the universe.
Now I kind of like, oh my Lord, please forgive me. Well, about a week later, my wife came home and said, we're going to a healing service. There was a Baptist pastor named Reverend Floyd Baker. He had been a Hell's Angel, got converted. He looked like a Hell's Angel in a suit, right? We go to this open-air park in upstate New York in Schenectady, and he's given words of knowledge. And I'm thinking, man, this is a scam. This can't be true. You know, I don't even know what these are. And all of a sudden, he stops in the middle of his sermon, and he points to the bleachers where I'm sitting in the back with my wife, and said, there's a couple praying for a young child, and that child's being healed of an intestinal disorder right now. And I said, man, I think I said to my wife, did you tell him?
Yeah,
and she gets on her knees, and she's worshiping Christ, and I'm like, my left brain is going tilt.
I understand.
And so at that point, we went to Dr. Nitschman. I think he thought we were very stressed. My wife explained to the Jewish doctor that Jesus had just healed our baby. And so we took the baby. My wife, great woman of faith, the doctor had given me all these prescription things that I was supposed to buy. And I bought $100 worth of Canana banana flakes, Pedialyte, mineral substitutes, be careful, his warning. She gets home and says, don't worry about that stuff. Jesus has healed the baby, puts the baby in the high chair, puts the finger food, and little Sarah ate I don't know how many meals in that one sitting. About a week later, she's still well, and she's gaining weight. And at that point, I took a walk in the woods after the doctor said, well, whatever's going on here, I don't know how to explain it. Keep doing what you're doing. And I took a walk.
But wait a second. How in the world did you know to believe like that? You're a baby believer in God yourself.
I had no other choice, Sid. I just was a desperate mom, and I wanted for my child. Yeah. And I said, you know, I had just gotten saved. Started to believe that the Lord was real. He wasn't just someone you pray to and you're doing a good deed or something. So I said, we're going to believe this and see if God is really real.
I know, but you have a Tom, a doubting Tom over
well,
here.
Well, we've always been complete opposites, you see. And I said, let's just trust God for it. And okay. We did.
So, Tom, you go out in the woods.
I go out in the woods. I said, okay, so you are real. I don't like your methods. I don't like it at all. So that's how I tell people now. I'm one of those guys at 2x4. There was a pastor. I tell this joke once in a while. There was a pastor, an old pastor, who had a horse.
Oh,
and he loved this horse. And he's given this horse away to another one. He says, I just have one criteria. You need to love this horse and treat him well. So the young man says, oh, I can do that. And he gets up on the horse. He says, giddy up, and the horse doesn't go anywhere. So the old pastor picks up a 2x4, whacks the horse on the side of the head and says, now go. And the young man says, I thought you said be nice to him. He says, I am. I'm just getting his attention.
Okay.
So God got my attention.
And?
At that point, I really surrendered. I said, all right, I give up. I don't understand it. I'm willing to check my rationalism, all my science stuff. I've made an idol out of science. You've obviously done something here I don't understand. I want more. And at that point, a week later, I think my wife invited a young man, one of the men from our church who'd been in this guitar mass, who led my wife to the Lord. He came over and says, why don't you just give up? And why don't you surrender? You'll go free. How do I do that? There's got to be a plan. There's got to be a model. I'm a man of models and all that. He led me to Christ, and within 1 minute, I got the gift of tongues. And I didn't really understand all of what that was. There's been a lot of controversy about
that. Well, you know what happened? You had what was known as you've heard a heart bypass? He had a mind bypass. He started speaking a language that he had never been trained. This can't happen to an engineer.
Yeah.
Right.
But it did. Yeah. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Tom and Jenny Hauser. Now, Tom is making $250,000 a year as a nuclear engineer. His wife gets radically saved and experienced with Jesus. Then they see their daughter healed, and his engineering mind goes tilt, and he also becomes radical for Jesus, even to the point of speaking a language his brain had never been taught. The Bible calls it unknown tongues or unknown languages. And Tom, you were growing dissatisfied being a nuclear engineer, but then you get this radical idea of going into ministry. Tell me about that.
I had gotten transferred from the nuclear site in North Carolina, ended up in Georgia, and we're in a vineyard church in Georgia. And at that point, I'm really dissatisfied. I've really gotten to the top of my game. I've been promised a very large promotion. And at that point, I said, this isn't it. This is not, you've answered my prayers, but this is not it. So I tell my wife, I believe the Lord's calling me into full-time ministry.
And Jenny, what did you think about that?
Are you nuts?
What do you mean, are you nuts? First, you want him to become a believer in Jesus. Now he's going a little too far.
You know,
you like the quarter
hair
of a million?
Done, the nails done, all right. And all that stuff. And we love Jesus the whole time. I mean, in the corporate world.
So why won't you let him become a...
Because I had this idea in my mind, oh, Lord, don't! I would never want to be a pastor's wife.
You'll send us to Africa or something.
Yeah, I just thought, that, you know, they were some weird breed.
So how'd you change your mind?
Well, I went to bed asking the Lord and praying and saying, oh, my Lord, could this be you? Where are you giving my husband this idea? And all night he played this song, like this spoke to me all night and said, won't you trust me? Won't you trust me? So sweet, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I woke up in the morning, and the Lord reminded me of a sort of impression. In 1989, we had just moved into a brand new house, and we had the whirlpool tub and all that, and I felt like there was this spirit saying, well, enjoy it now, because within 10 years, your whole life is going to change and be different. And I said, boy, I must be just dreaming. So I'm enjoying. And then the Lord brought that to my remembrance. And here it was the year 1990,
It was within 6 months of that word.
So it's almost like 10 years. And I said, is this the fulfillment of this, what I thought the Spirit was speaking to me? And he said, yes. So I said, and he kept saying, won't you trust me? And I said, yes, I will trust you, Lord. And I told Tom, and he goes, what?
Now she's scared. Now it's
scary. Now you're the
now
one that's
scared.
Scared
again.
So I had three fleeces before, Lord. I don't know about, but I asked three things of the Lord. I said, Lord, you got to give my wife the same heart because I won't go in ministry without it. And then send me two people that don't know anything and let them speak to me about this. So that night, a woman from our church came up and said, you need to come be a pastor in our church. And I argued with her. We drove back to Georgia, and a man called us up, his wife called us up and said, we need to come over tonight. And I said, not tonight, we're tired. And she was kind of forceful, which was not like her. Came over and we were speaking, and in the middle, all of a sudden the man said, I see a big symbol with a General Electric sign on it with a red line through it. You're not working for General Electric anymore. You're going to be a pastor in a large church. And I said, uh-oh.
Well, we looked at each other and said, that must be the confirmation of the word.
But Jenny, your nice executive's wife, living the nails and everything.
But I still wasn't the normal executive's wife.
But still, did you ever in your wildest imagination could see yourselves casting demons out of people in foreign countries like Brazil ever, Jenny?
Never in a million years, but, you know, it's God doing it.
How do you like the word that Jenny had? Can you trust me? Watch what happens when two people say, yes, God, I can trust you. We'll be right back and find out about the most amazing people being set free of demons. Don't go away.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Tom and Jenny Hauser. What happens when corporate America decides to throw in the towel and go into ministry? Now, Jenny, if someone had told you that you would be going to Brazil, casting demons out of people, being a nice corporate wife, living the good life, a husband making $250,000 a year, never would you? Would you?
Oh, my goodness, no. No, I'm just the typical person.
Did you believe that there were really demons? The truth.
Honestly, no. I knew that men were capable of evil, because obviously you can see that. Very rational. Someone had told me that the Lord was going to pull my shirt tail out, mess up my hair, and mismatch my socks. And I got that word and I said, but he's done all that and some. I used to think that the demons, the devil, the horns, what's with all that? It's a lot of Hollywood stuff for, you know, selling
movies. Okay, I'm going to take you to Brazil. Mm-hmm. The first time you had an encounter with demons. Tell me about it.
That was really amazing. We were with a ministry, Global Awakening, Randy Clark, and there was only 13, 14 of us on that trip, 11 of them are from my church, and I'm supposed to be the pastor who knows everything, right?
Of course.
Protect them. And we're in a ministry meeting, the church is filled, we're in a very poor section of Brazil, and there was a word given for those who were terminally ill. And Randy said, I'm going to preach, the team needs to take the terminally ill to the back and pray for them. So we go back. And I'm telling you, Sid, it was a sight. It was just a sad sight. There were many dying of AIDS. There were those in wheelchairs. It was a sad sight. I was praying for a woman with AIDS, and my wife started to pray for a woman. Her name was Priscilla.
This was Priscilla. I had interviewed her, as we're told to do, and find out the details. And of course, you're working through an interpreter.
Right.
So it takes a little time. But I was finding that I was getting nowhere as far as praying for her, and it wasn't happening. And the more questions I asked through the interpreter, I found out that she had been involved in had a family history of curses put on her,
witchcraft.
And this is prevalent in Brazil. It's, you know. So I said, stay right here with the interpreter. I'll go get my husband. He's good at that stuff. So I went and I got Tom. He finished praying for the other woman.
He's the expert in demons.
Yes,
he doesn't even
the
believe they exist.
Yeah. Oh. Well,
they
anyway,
wanted him.
So we together ministered to this woman named Priscilla, and she was, I'll let Tom share. Yeah. It was just really precious how she had a deformed leg from a curse put on her.
Believe how deformed this. Was it?
She could not walk.
That's deformed.
She could not walk without a huge limp, and you could see it was curved.
It was the foot was 90 degrees out. At 1 year old, her father had made fun of a neighbor child who's crippled. And in Brazil, there's a group called the Mucumba witchcraft people, and he had a curse put on his family from what happened. At 1 year old, this Priscilla's foot turned out. She'd had 9 surgeries. She came crippled, her back out of alignment. And when she started to tell us about this, I said, okay, well, I've read the book, and the Bible talks about demonization. At that point, my wife and I, we went through our first deliverance with this woman, taking authority, not knowing well. We'd read a lot of the key books at that time.
Had you read this book?
Yes.
Derek Prince.
Yeah, I knew him personally, and he said that when he was writing this book, that he and his wife had the toughest time. This is so valuable. Yes. It tells it all, but go ahead.
Really? So it was a pretty graphic deliverance for us. I won't give you the details of it, but you can imagine some of the Hollywood stuff, and I'm thinking, wow, every time I use the name of Jesus, the demonic realm would respond, and they would have to listen and behave and go and leave. So at that point, after about 2 hours of this graphic deliverance, Priscilla turned to us through the translator and said, I believe I can walk. And with my wife on one side of her elbow and me on the other, as she walked across the room, her 90-degree foot turned straight.
Really?
Her back came into
alignment. Did you actually see this?
You could see it. It wasn't complete at that time, but she definitely started walking with more strength, less of a limp, and she was filled with joy.
I wondered why God, you know, here I am, the engineer kicks in. Why is there still only 5% of this not complete, God? The next night she shows up and I'm like excited. I just saw this thing. The rational mind. So at that point I had her come and we prayed that the Holy Spirit would finish the work. And Sid, she, during the midst of worship, it was as if she grabbed an electrical line, started shaking, she hit the ground. I pushed through the crowd and her husband looked at me. He was very happy because he had a crippled wife the night before.
Right.
He doesn't. They have a 1-year-old child and they're worried
that she's going to be cursed as well.
And in the midst of that, I said to him, and I felt the spirit in me, and I didn't know a lot of Portuguese, but I said this, Seja curado em nome de Jesus, be healed in the name of Jesus. And right before my eyes, her leg went completely straight. He looked at me like, did you see that?
The husband.
That night, the husband, Priscilla, and their 1-year-old, finished the story, honey, walked up to us, and she gave us that.
Oh, she gave us a letter, which I thought you would bring. But anyway, she signed it. I love you. Thank you so much, Priscilla. And he has it in one of his Bibles. Yeah. We should have brought it, but it was such a precious testimony of the love of Jesus.
The two of you have ministered to a lot of people in deliverance, but you mentioned something called curses. What could be some of the symptoms be if people that are viewing us right now have curses? What would some of the symptoms be?
Torment, such that at night you're unbelievably tormented, and lack of peace. Strongholds, where you're doing things you know you do not want to do, but just seems to be
compulsion
that I cannot stop. It can be drugs, it can be alcohol, it can be pornography. There's a place where you open that door, that it's almost a place where you invite in a presence. No one wakes up and says, I'm gonna be a drug addict or an alcoholic, or I'm gonna be someone who overeats, or I'm gonna be in some bondage to pornography. But we have done ministry now in all of those cases. And that stronghold gets a hold and invites that darkness in.
Tom, could you pray for people and break the curses? Because I understand curses can go back 4 generations.
Yes.
Break up to 4 generations of curses right now over people.
Yeah, I believe there's some that are here tonight. You've tuned in, and I believe this is a divine appointment. It's a point where you've come. I want to pray now, this bondage that you're in the name of Jesus, we come and we take authority over all the curses, generational curses that have been placed upon you, that which has been visited upon you, not by your choice. And then those who are stuck in bondages, who have opened the door to sin, and you're now in a place where you cannot seem to get free. In the name of Jesus Christ, we break that authority off your life. Yes. We ask that you'd come and you'd run to the foot of Christ and you'd throw yourself at His feet and He will set you free.
Thank you,
in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. It's done in Jesus' name.
Now, you sound like you're sure of that, Jenny.
I am sure of it because I've seen it, and God's Word will not return and not do its work.
Tom, briefly, one more deliverance tell me about.
Probably the one that was very dramatic. We had a doctorate degree, she's been in my church, a doctorate degree UNCW professor. I'm going to call her name Sally. 20 years as a Christian, had gone to psychologists, many, many psychologists, spent thousands of dollars to psychologists trying to get free of torment and anger towards her husband, who was a non-believer. She came to me and she said, there's something really wrong. When I start to pray, I begin to curse my God. And she said,
I'd say something's wrong.
I know this is not good. So she set up and she came in. One of my associates was with me, my secretary from church. And we began to pray. She went through a list of prayer that we do. And in the midst of this, dramatically, again, this is the left brainer. I used to think, man, this is dramatic. I'm just telling you as it happened. In the midst of praying, she renounced witchcraft. She'd been involved in the occult. She'd been to mediums, to psychics. Her mother was a shaman, a psychic. And she realized that she'd asked to be forgiven of that, never renounced the generational curse of that. When she spoke the words, I renounce the generational curse of witchcraft, she got up in a violent state. And in a male voice, this is a young, short woman, spoke in a male voice and said, you can't have her. She's mine and I'm high level. Something rose up in me. I hate the enemy. I just do. The enemy of their soul that's out to destroy people. And I said, I know someone higher level than you, and his name is Jesus Christ. You do not have authorization to her. And then it says, the spirit started to cry. It said, well, where will I go? And I said, go to the place of the dryness that Jesus created. And it said, all right. And instantly she came, and the personality of the woman came forward, and she said, it's gone. I sense it's gone. Now, that was 2.5 years ago. She's come before our church, given testimony. She even brought a large sum of money to bless the church because she said, I have spent thousands and thousands of dollars with secular counselors. You cannot counsel a demon. Jesus made it clear in the Bible. He didn't counsel them. He cast them out.
Well, you know, Derek Prince personally said to me, God does not set you free of your friends. Yeah. He sets you free of your enemies.
Amen.
And these demons are enemies, but I want you to capture this vision. The devil is, say, the size of a human. God is the size of the Washington Monument. I mean, give me a break. When you say the name of Jesus, all the forces of God come against those demons. The demons are actually more afraid of you than you are of them. Perfect love casts out all fear, and love has a name. His name is Jesus, and boy, does He love you. You just reach out to Him.